The solemn faces of men and women pass slowly by. Accused by Jimmy McGovern. Written by Danny Brocklehurst and Jimmy McGovern. Through a narrow barred hatch in a door, Liam Black, a haggard man in his early 40s, sits slumped on a wooden bench in a holding cell. He has graying dark hair, a beard, and is wearing a dark suit and tie. With a forlorn expression, he looks up as a uniformed guard unlocks the cell's heavy metal door.
Jury's returning.
Starring Andy Serkis, Neve McIntosh, and Jodie Whittaker. Head hung, Liam shuffles out and is placed in cuffs.
I didn't mean to kill anyone. Couldn't kill time. Couldn't murder a pine. Something snapped.
Ashen, he keeps his eyes on the floor as the guard leads him along a grey, sterile corridor through a wrought iron gate, which another guard locks again behind him. Now in a smoky back office, Liam and three other men place bets in a card game, while nearby, a blonde woman leafs through a magazine.
I'm five. Stash.
You haven't got the seven of clubs. No one on this planet could be that jammy. You got a flush at best.
I'm five.
Get out and let me see him, will you, you prick? You can't possibly win.
I win with 4-9.
Just explain, you mong. 4-9.
Yes, are you in?
How can you have 4-9?
Are you in or are you stashing?
How can you have 4-9s when there's one in his hand looking at us, you prat? 5.
Throw him in.
No.
Throw him in.
You haven't got a bouncer. You've got a flush at best.
Right. 5. I'm
5.
Ignoring his colleague Kev's advice and his ringing phone, Liam turns out his pockets.
Well, I'm covering that. Anything else you sort out, but I'm covering that.
Right. 5. See ya. Bouncer. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Liam shakes his head as Kev collects his winnings. Now, in a quiet back road outside the taxi office, Liam listens to a message. Smiling warmly to himself, he ends the call, and upon hearing Kev returning to his minicab behind him...
Hey, Kev! Kate, you just passed her entrance exam.
Oh, that's brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
Look, tell her well done from me, yeah?
Yeah, I will do, yeah.
See ya.
I promised her a present. I said if she passed it, I'd get her a present, you know, or a necklace or something.
And your skin?
Oh, yeah.
You are alone? One condition, Liam.
Oh, don't make me cry.
One condition.
Go on.
You tell Ros. You tell Ros you've done your brain in again, playing cards again. Because you need help, mate.
Yeah, what's that?
Shove your money.
A similar age to Liam, Kev gets into his own car, exasperated as Liam marches back towards his estate and unlocks the door with a dark, brooding frown. Later, he pulls up in a residential neighbourhood and rings the doorbell on a semi-detached property. He shakes his head at the doorbell.
Come in.
Emma, an attractive 20-something woman, disappears inside and a short while later wheels a suitcase out to the car. Liam lifts it into the boot while she climbs into the back with her handbag. She's wearing a smart grey skirt suit. Whilst driving, Liam asks...
Is your terminal low?
Where is it? You think they'd write it in big letters near the top?
Who are you travelling with?
EasyJet.
Oh, it's too much likely.
Atlanta Harbour, Seymour Grove, old traveller.
Going anywhere nice?
2. You're right. Small print, bottom right-hand corner. Prague. A conference.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, if you like estate agents.
He smiles. At the airport, he unloads Emma's luggage.
17.50 quid.
Keep the change.
Oh, thanks. Enjoy the conference.
Yeah.
You need someone on the way back.
He writes his number on the back of a card and gives it to her.
Liam.
Thank you. Bye.
He watches Emma's slender figure as she disappears into the terminal. Then, with a troubled intake of breath, wipes his nose and stares thoughtfully down at the 20 she gave him. He trudges out of a betting office, wearing a despondent scowl and clutching a betting slip. Leaning against the wall outside, he lights a half-smoked fag that was tucked behind his ear, draws heavily on it, and considers his options before returning to his car. The engine coughs to life and he drives away. Having returned to the quiet suburbs and parked across the road from Emma's house, he makes his way up the front path, looking about shiftily. He lingers on the doorstep, scanning the neighbourhood anxiously. Then makes his way back along the path and down a dim side alley between Emma's house and the next one along. Glancing back anxiously one last time, he disappears around the back of the property. Shattering the door's window pane allows him to reach through, and with a rag over his hand, he unlocks the back door and enters, pausing briefly to get his bearings. Quietly, he moves through to the lounge, only to hurry through an open door into a spare bedroom. He rifles through things on a side table and tips out the contents of a makeup bag, but it's when he's ransacking a set of clothing drawers that a small jewellery box falls out onto the beige carpeted floor. Upon opening it, he discovers an elegant silver pendant and chain. He turns the trinket over in his rough fingers before noticing a framed photo of a smiling Emma. Shamed, he drops the pendant back into the box and takes it through to the open-plan lounge and kitchen. His attention is drawn to a shelving unit on the far side of the room. The top shelf displays ornaments, photos and files. He studies another one of Emma in a bikini on the beach. Books line the shelf below, but in front of them rests an MP3 player. He scans through its music library, selects a track and puts in the earphones. The music soothes his dark mood. He takes a moment to listen on the sofa and then peruses more photos that cover the cupboard door. Photos of the lively Emma smiling again and posing in a park with a dark-haired man and woman also in their 20s. He gets lost in her endearing green eyes, but eventually draws himself away, only to study another photo of her with long, plaited fair hair. A sadness fills his face, and he pulls the earphones out. He wraps them around the MP3 player, pockets it, and notices a distinctive silver and black memory stick plugged into a sleek laptop on the dining table. He takes that as well. That evening, in a drab living room, Liam presents his daughter, Katie, with the jewellery box. His weary wife, Roz, eyes him dubiously.
Saved up all year for me.
Yeah.
Katie smiles thankfully, but Rosie's questioning gaze unsettles Liam. Later, Liam's alone in the lounge, sitting in a worn armchair beside a crudely cemented over fireplace. He lifts a laptop covered in colourful stickers onto his lap, opens it, and hesitates momentarily before plugging the stolen memory stick into it. A series of folders pop up on screen. He clicks on the one labelled Emma's Photos. While it opens, he sips from a glass containing a whiskey-coloured liquid. Scrolling down a series of thumbnail snaps that appear, he rubs his bristly chin and selects one with a cursor. It enlarges to reveal Emma with a cheesy grin, modelling a handbag.
Are you in bed, Katie? Not yet.
Liam clicks on another of Emma smiling with a group of friends, then one of her as a teenager with a serious expression, modelling a t-shirt with a unicycle on it. After studying her face for a long moment, he drags the cursor over to a folder marked Documents. And a subsequent folder entitled Neil with a winking emoticon. Documents appear with the title Hey Mister or Hey Missy. He opens Hey Mister 8 and reads the email between Emma and a Neil McGray.
I've been thinking about you all day. I feel so close to you right now. Not just because of the sex, although that's great, obviously. It's more than that. It's like we're connected somehow. Mind, body, soul, everything. I laughed when I read Echo and the Bunnymen. I saw them play about 10 years ago at the Apollo and loved them. Where shall we eat, by the way? I'm easy. Anywhere that does sticky toffee pudding.
It's daytime, and Liam's smoking outside the taxi office. His phone disturbs his thoughts.
Hello.
Airport yesterday. I was wondering if you could pick me up.
He's slightly shocked, but drives to the airport and waves to her as she comes out of the flight arrivals building. She and another older red-haired woman approach his car.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Emma's suitcase.
Good trip, yeah?
Yeah. Sorry, this is my mum. She got the train down. Is it all right if we give her a lift?
Sure, yeah. No problem. Whatever.
Is it ransacked?
No, hardly anything touched.
On the road.
Came in through the back. I didn't notice at first, but then I felt a draft. Broken window in the door.
Can you tell what's missing?
Not really. The telly's still there. Did you take your laptop with you?
No.
That might be gone.
Jewellery? Grandma's necklace?
They need burning, don't they? Burning at the stake.
You insured?
It's not that, though, is it? I just thought of them in there.
Little bastards.
I knew a woman who got done. It turns out the burglar needed a present for his daughter. And that was the only reason he did it.
I'd still burn him.
Liam stares ahead, racked with guilt. Outside Emma's house...
Keep the change.
No, you're right, forget it.
No, it's not
No, no chance. You've just been robbed. I'm not going to take your money.
You are.
I am not.
You are. I'm insured. Take it. Thank you.
No problem. Get yourself some extra locks.
I will.
And if you need a cab, you got my number, right?
Yeah, thanks.
He climbs back into his vehicle slowly and pulls on his seatbelt, lost in thought. With a sickened expression, he starts the engine. Then shifts it into gear and drives away. Now driving along a tree-lined road, he draws on another cigarette.
Love the way we lie together after sex. Stupid jokes you tell me. I love the feel of your hands running down my spine, the way you just know where to press. Where to ease off.
Now he's reading the emails again at his kitchen table.
My best film, I'd have to say A Place in the Sun. Not many people know, but it's fantastic. And then probably The Hustler. Worst film of all time, love story, beyond any doubt.
Watching Emma from his car as she enters her work building, Liam shakes his head at his own actions and drives away. A stately red brick building.
Well, it's not a taxi exactly, it's a private hire. know they say that taxi drivers are bottom of the food chain, aren't they? But, well, private hire drivers are lower. But, you know, I need a job that's flexible. You know what I mean? You can see what situation we're in. So I need to be able to choose when to work and when to take time off. But it's not always going to be the case. Because I've got plans. Yeah. And, well, you know, those plans have to go on hold for the moment, because it's Katie that counts. It's her future that counts. And once we've got that future sorted, once we've got her into this school of yours, and hopefully that's going to happen today, then it'll be time to...
He nods with an anguished smile. Roz glances at him from her wheelchair. He rubs his thighs and laughs nervously.
I don't belong here. But she does. And I love that. And I love her for that.
The austere assessment panel teachers warm to this. Now Katie and Liam are helping Roz into Liam's car. He puts the chair into the boot. Katie buckles her mum in the front and gets into the back, while her dad shuts the boot slowly with a troubled frown. Liam's washing up in his dimly lit kitchen and listening to a radio.
Last time it happened, it was fluid on the lung, and it looks the same this time. Same temperature and everything. So it's going to be the same, fluid on the lung. She's going to be all right. She was okay last time. You just put a drain in. She was all right after that.
Roz is being taken into hospital. Liam comes to join his distressed daughter in a waiting area. He rubs the back of his head and sighs as he slumps into the seat beside hers.
She's going to be fine.
Katie's relief is palpable.
You come home tomorrow.
They stare off, lost in their own worlds, until Liam asks,
What's the worst thing I do? Come on, what's the worst thing I do?
Gamble.
Correct. You know why I gamble?
Katie shakes her head, and Liam chews his lips before confessing.
Because I've got a brain. And instead of using it to do something useful like teaching or journalism or social work, something like that, you know, I drive edibles around all day. So...
He shifts in his seat.
When I get the chance... I like to do something that's, you know, that involves a bit of judgment. You know, uses a bit of this. But the only thing that I can do that involves a bit of this is gambling. That's all there is for someone like me. Would you like that?
No.
You are going to go to that posh school. And you're going to get 5 million A-levels. And then you're going to go to uni. And then you're going to get a job you love. And you are going to fly. Right?
With an affectionate smile.
Hey.
Liam's guard watches through a barred gate as the accused stands at a urinal in a sparse cement-walled room.
Getting a bit pissed off with these looks I'm getting.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've done some things beneath contempt, yeah. I'd never stoop so low as to do your fucking job.
It's night time, and Liam's parked on the road outside Emma's house. He strides up to the front door. Emma opens the door. which is now on a chain.
You all right?
Come in.
She's wearing a red evening dress and closes the door again to collect her things. Suddenly somber, he moves away and scans the night, then turns back to the door with a sad, distant gaze.
You smoke?
Yeah.
I can smell it.
Oh, sorry.
No. I like it. I used to smoke myself. I still love the smell of it.
It doesn't make you want to...
No. I'm not addictive like that. Are you?
Well, I like a bet.
Addictive, though. Addicted to it.
No. Do you want me to pick you up at the end of the night?
It'll be late.
That's no problem.
Oh, we'll just flag one. There'll be loads.
We?
A friend.
He turns on the radio.
Oh, turn it up.
He smiles.
You going out for a meal?
I get a snack at the bar.
Do you eat out much?
A bit. You?
Yeah, a bit.
Where?
Anywhere, really. Right, anywhere that does sticky toffee pudding. What?
Me too.
Later, Emma stands at the bar of a trendy pub when a barman approaches her. Outside, Liam's watching from his car, parked a short distance away. Cigarette in hand, he watches with interest as Neil, an attractive man behind the bar, engages her in conversation, when he then holds Emma's hand. Liam hangs his head and drives away, but later that night, he's waiting in a side road on Emma's estate and sits up when a black cab stops outside her house. He watches intently as she gets out, then grips his steering wheel when Neil climbs out after her. With their arms around each other, they laugh their way to the front door. Swaying drunkenly, they kiss on the doorstep before disappearing inside. Liam chews on his gum and hangs his head despondently. He puts a hand to his face. It's still night, and he's driving along a main road when...
Anywhere near Mayburn Street? Anyone in Mayburn?
Scan 481, what number, please?
63.
I'm minutes away, control, I'm on it, right?
It's Emma's place. Liam pulls up outside the house. Moments later, Neil comes to the door with his shirt untucked. He has a trim moustache and beard. He shares a word and departing kiss with Emma, who's now in her dressing gown. Liam stops watching in his rearview mirror when Neil approaches. On his way through city streets.
Very nice.
You what?
The girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lovely.
She didn't want you to go.
She got burgled a few days ago. Spooked her, she doesn't like being on her own.
So why not stay?
Busy day tomorrow.
What'd you do?
Manage a bar. Hawkins.
So you're not up early then?
No. Just, bottom of this road, please.
Daytime. Liam's in his car on his mobile, with a newspaper open at the property section on his lap.
Hello?
Justin speaking. How can I help?
Yeah, I'm interested in viewing the house on Manor Drive.
Liam pulls into a quiet estate, takes a right turn, and crawls along a road a short way. He eventually comes to a stop, pulls the handbrake and cuts the engine. As he's running his hand over his short dark hair, Emma's distinctive yellow car passes and parks outside a semi-detached that has a for sale sign in the front garden. Liam hesitates momentarily before getting out. Emma does the same and notices him approaching.
It's an insult, what?
That's amazing.
All the estate agents in all the world.
Come on.
I wasn't expecting a woman. You're not taking a chance.
No, if you're a man, Justin, he's who you met this morning. He susses you out first.
He deemed me no threat, then?
No threat.
Handing him papers.
Where are you living at the moment?
Withington. It's nice, but it's tiny.
And is your place on the market?
No, I'm renting. Yeah. Sold the house when the wife died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
They head towards the property. Now it's evening, and Roz is watching TV on the sofa while Liam slumped in his armchair, nursing a hot drink, in which he dunks a biscuit. Roz carefully sips from a glass, clutching it in both hands with hooked fingers.
What's that?
Wine and soda.
It's 9:45.
I know.
And why are you drinking wine and soda at 9:45?
Because I want to.
You'll wet the bed.
I'll wet the bed anyway.
And you'll soak it now.
Her nostrils flare at his callous remark. He checks his mobile.
Who is it?
He starts to leave.
Work.
It's your night off.
Now Liam's driving through nighttime city streets. He glances at Emma in his rearview mirror as she's applying makeup.
You out with the girls, then?
Boyfriend.
Must get a bit nervous on your own now since the break-in and that.
Yeah.
Oh. Why don't you ask him to move in?
She shoots him a look.
How's the house hunting going?
Slow.
He turns on the radio.
I love this.
Do you?
It's my absolute favourite, I love it. Yeah,
so do I. I saw him at the Apollo about 10 years ago.
So did I was there.
No, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm January 27th, Aquarius, which is supposed to make me friendly and creative. They're the good bits. And bloody-minded, which is the bad bit. What about you?
In his armchair, Liam goes back to reading Emma's emails with Neil on the laptop. He runs a thoughtful finger over his bearded chin. Now, under the cover of darkness, he surreptitiously lets the air from one of her car's tyres using a small screwdriver. In the bright light of morning, Liam's complexion is pale and drawn. He wraps his fingers on the steering wheel impatiently, but soon perks up upon hearing Emma approaching from her house. She reaches for the back passenger door, but then chooses to get in the front to Liam's pleasant surprise.
Hi.
He watches her get in and buckle up.
Not driving?
Puncture.
She shakes her head. He smiles politely and drives away.
What was your wife's name?
Roz. And how did she die?
Yeah.
She got MS. No, it's not how you'd imagine, Emma. You know, some sentimental shit. Film. Love story or something like that. No. No, the lover died and I was going to leave her. As soon as Katie got to university, I was leaving. And then suddenly she announces she's got this MS. Soon after, she's in a wheelchair. How do you leave someone in a wheelchair? They tell us it's progressive. She will die. But she doesn't die. I mean, her body's falling apart. You know, she's pissing herself. She's going to bed in a nappy. Feet like blocks of ice. But this up here, oh, man, up here, she's as sharp as ever. And she doesn't die. And honestly, I'm starting to think. Hands around her throat and cushion over her face and anything to bring it to an end. I mean, it's not out of pity or mercy or anything like that. It's just I can't stand watching this happen, this woman falling to bits.
He feels the weight of her sympathetic gaze on him and forces a wan smile.
What's your favourite film?
You won't know it.
Try me.
A place in the sun.
I'll believe it.
What?
That's mine too. Honestly, otherwise known as an American tragedy. Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
That was weird, that.
In the present, Liam trudges dolefully up a narrow set of steps. Behind him, the court guard pauses to check a set of keys.
It's my daughter up there.
Yeah. Hard to look at her.
Yeah.
Suspect it's mutual.
They continue up, Liam wearing a sickened expression. Outside Neil's bar, it's early evening, and Liam's watching Neil chatting happily with a young woman in a stunning silvery dress, her brown hair down past her exposed shoulders. Tortured, Liam heads inside. He leans on the bar beside the woman as Neil hands her a drink.
All right, Neil.
All right, mate. Do you want ice and a vodka?
No, thanks.
What will I get you?
Orange juice when you're ready.
Say something, please, Lachlan.
You don't remember me, do you?
Keep the change.
Thanks very much. No, sorry, mate, you got me.
Cab driver from the other night. Took you home from your friend.
Oh, right, I thought I knew you. Orange juice, you said?
Yeah. Asked you why you didn't stay for breakfast. You said you had a lot on in the morning.
Yeah. Fresh orange?
Yeah. I couldn't understand it. Lovely girl like that. Morning after's gonna be as sweet as the night before, isn't it? Eh? Even sweeter. Wake up, watch her getting out of bed. Naked. She puts your jacket on or your sweater. And that's all she's got on, jacket or your sweater. She's completely naked underneath and you have breakfast like that. Sweet. It's very, very sweet.
Neil stares at him.
140.
Liam fishes it from his pocket.
Keep the change.
Same again, yeah?
Yeah, change. End of. All right.
Liam sneers.
You didn't stay for breakfast because you had to get home to your wife.
Can I have a word? Wait. Hold me a minute, Pete. Toilet.
No.
No, you and me can have a word in private, mate.
No, you're not going to get me alone, I tell you. Are you finish it, what I tell. Tell that girl about your wife. I'm gonna tell your wife about that girl.
Right. Neil's left unnerved, but then outside, as Liam stoops to unlock his car door, he suddenly finds himself pinned against it.
You keep your nose out of my business, or I'll break every bone in your body. Do you understand that, you stupid fuck?
Yeah?
Yeah. Good.
Neil hurls the cabbie to the pavement and marches back towards his bar as Liam scurries into his car, shaken. Behind the wheel, he takes long, steadying breaths. Now it's daytime. Neil's crossing a street with a baby in a carrier against his chest and a pretty blonde woman at his side. He suddenly becomes aware of someone watching them. Sitting in his car further up the road, Liam snaps them with his camera phone and then drives past the worried couple. Liam's pulling up outside Emma's house. He posts an unmarked brown envelope through her letterbox. It's dusk, and Liam's having a fag outside his terraced home, but as he takes his first draw in it, his mobile rings in his pocket. He stares at the display for a long moment. Later that night, he's driving with a subdued Emma in the back.
Yeah, for the night.
No, I'm coming straight back.
So why the taxi?
If
had a drink. Several drinks.
What's in the envelope?
A photo.
Nice one.
Liam's car crawls to a halt by some railway arches, a stone's throw from Neil's bar. As Emma's getting out...
Could you wait for me, please?
He watches anxiously as she makes her way towards the bar with the envelope in hand. As she disappears through some doors, his gaze shifts to the tall windows of the bar on the building's first floor. Emma comes to her usual spot and calls Neil over to her. Neil looks around anxiously as Emma holds up the photo, drawing attention from surrounding patrons. She then storms out, and Liam's gaze shifts back down to the entrance door. He swallows and shifts in his seat as she makes her way back over to his taxi. Dazed, she climbs into the back and lets out a slow breath.
Are you okay?
If I open your window really wide, could I have one of your ciggies, would you mind?
He holds them up to her, but purses his lips.
You're packed in.
Relapse.
Close to tears, she takes one from his pack, winds down the window and lights up.
She's married.
Emma nods. Liam shakes his head.
Kids.
She nods again, tearfully, and he sighs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He starts the engine and drives away as Emma's emotions get the better of her. The trip back to Emma's home is made in silence. Liam keeps his eyes on the road, while Emma mulls in the back with a numb expression. A street lamp reflection passes over the windscreen. The street is lamplit and deserted as Liam pulls up opposite Emma's house. She lingers in the back, staring into the night on the verge of tears.
Is it so obvious?
Sorry?
So obvious he was married.
Yeah.
How?
He stares down into his lap.
I think you're amazing. I think you're the most amazing woman I've ever met in my life. And he thought so too. And yet, you ask him to move in and he said no. You get burgled, you feel vulnerable. You ask him again and he still says no. The most amazing woman in the world isn't just asking him to move in. She's practically begging him to move in. She's in desperate need of him moving in and he still says no. That means he's married. He's got to be married. No man on earth would say no to you unless he had to.
Thanks.
He gives her a sad smile. She looks down at her handbag.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You're going to have to drive me to Holden Mall.
No, forget it.
No, I can't.
Honestly, it's fine.
I'll pay you back.
I know.
I'll call you tomorrow. I'll give it you then.
Right.
Can I make you a coffee or something?
Now the pair of them are standing in a darkened room, their foreheads touching. He strokes her soft cheek and cradles her neck. She leans forward, and slowly they share a tender kiss. He studies her intently, gently pushing her hair back behind her ears. She opens her eyes and kisses him again. They embrace each other, holding on tightly to the moment. Then their passion intensifies. She kisses him again, and he slips her shirt off over her shoulders. She pulls his t-shirt off, revealing a chest bristling with hair. Then she wraps her arms around him. Now he's carefully easing off a strap of her black bra. They linger in each other's gaze, before kissing once more. Later, they're spooning in bed. He has his arm around her.
Siggy.
She smiles and nods, but neither of them move.
The car.
He strokes her arm and then gets up. Having dressed, he does up his fly as he makes his way to the car. He climbs into the driver's seat and guilt etched in lines on his face makes a call.
Yeah, it's me. No, I'm going to be a few hours yet. No, I'm driving a woman to Birmingham. I couldn't say no, could I?
Daylight streams into Emma's bedroom, where Liam lies on his side, contentedly watching Emma sleeping beside him. She stirs and opens her eyes.
What time is it?
6:22 precisely.
She's lying on her front, with her head half buried in her pillow.
I sat without a drink. First time in ages. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll go.
Why?
School run. There are kids I can't let down.
Liam's returned home.
Tea?
He places it on a bed table, wheels Roz back in her wheelchair, and then pulls the duvet off their bed. An absorbent liner on Roz's side is stained with urine.
You were playing poker, weren't you? You were playing poker all night. You bastard. Anything but that.
Liam looks down at her with contempt, then takes the sheet out. Wearing his suit, Liam slowly climbs the steps up from the holding cells to the courtroom. They exit into a large, glassed partition where he sits down, looking out onto the court. Kate is there, watching him with tearful eyes and a trembling chin, but when he turns to look at her, she lowers them. At Emma's house...
I'd say you're caring.
Thank you.
I'd say you're friendly. Creative, stand on your own 2 feet.
Used to.
Maybe you're a bit too independent at times, maybe a bit too defiant. But all in all, I'd say you were a typical Aquarius.
How? That's amazing.
I'd say you're early Aquarius as well, January, not February.
January 27th?
There you go.
How did you do that? How can you possibly do that?
He turns away. The judge enters the court and takes his seat, reflected in the glass panel that Liam stands behind.
Bring the jury in, please.
I don't see him as a human being. I see him as a dog. You know, a hyena. One of those hyenas out of Lion King. He's hiding behind his rock with his tongue out, panting. And then he's in, sniffing around my house, going through cupboards, pawing my clothes, going through jewellery, finding Grandma's necklace. You know, Grandma dying. You don't see that.
Now, Grandma taking my hand in hers, all lumps and liver spots, and saying, for your first granddaughter, my darling. He sees none of that. He just sees something to sell. Bastard. And what's done to this? I used to like a drink at night. Now I need one. You know, I used to love the doorbell going. Now I dread it, and the slightest noise at night, and my heart is pounding. Coppers say they'll catch him one day in someone else's house, and they'll ask for 48 other offences to be taken into consideration. Right. He won't remember. Take the coppers' word for it. 48 similar offences. He's left me a wreck, and he won't even remember doing it.
Is there anything I can do?
She shakes her head. Liam looks up at her.
I can move in with you. I know you're out of my league, but I know it won't last. But for now, while you're like this, doesn't it make sense?
Emma looks at him, slightly open-mouthed, thoughtful. Then Liam's driving through a gently curving tunnel, lost in thought, where he smothers Roz's face with a pillow.
It's better a few seconds of physical pain than hours, days, weeks of emotional agony. I'm doing it for you, Roz. I'm doing it for you.
She paws at his neck and face, trying to push him away. Liam drives in daylight again. Then he gets home and hangs his coat up on a peg.
Finished?
Yeah.
For the day?
No.
Roz is sitting at the table cutting an onion.
I haven't had a bet in weeks.
Good.
She labours to put the sliced vegetable into a saucepan. Liam stands behind her with his hands in his pockets and leans back against the kitchen counter.
I'm never going to gamble again.
Good.
They say you gamble because you've got a void in your life. I believe that. I filled it.
What with? Oh, what with?
A woman.
You serious?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this now?
Because I'm moving in with her. I'm leaving you and I'm moving in with her.
When?
Soon.
How?
What?
Well, how? You're not going to live off her?
No.
No, well, how are you going to do it then? How are you going to keep two houses going when you've been a spectacular failure at running one? Hmm? What are you doing?
Smoking.
In the house?
Yeah. In my own house. I've decided
your
that
daughter
I'm going
to hates the smell of it.
House.
It makes her sick.
Well, I am sick of you dominating me.
You selfish bastard.
I am sick of you always having your own fucking way.
Selfish bastard.
In fact, that's why it's come down to this, Rosa. That is why I'm leaving
you. It makes me sick.
Because
all
you ever do, all you ever do is take pleasure in denying me pleasure. Denying me a sing in my own fucking house.
He kicks the cupboard.
Well, open a window, eh? For God's sake, open a window.
Liam opens the nearest one and puffs angrily.
Is she younger than you?
Yeah.
Much younger than you?
No.
Yeah. You're making a fool of yourself.
If it helps you to think that way, then by all means, think
it. Oh, it doesn't help. Because I love you, you soft bastard. I love you!
In bed.
I wish I was married to someone strong, someone who could look after us, protect us, but I'm not. I'm married to you. And you're feckless. gambler. If I'm not on your case watching you like a hawk bossing, dominating, you lose all our money and we starve. For you to throw that back in my face right now, that's just wrong. It's not fucking fair.
Liam closes his eyes. Daytime, and they're all in the kitchen.
You leave my mother like that, you will never see me again. As long as I live. Selfish bastard. And what kind of woman is she, eh? The slag, the dirty, filthy. I'll call her what I like. In fact, I'm just going to call her names. I'm going to kill the dirty bitch. The dirty, filthy slag. She knows you're married. You don't move in and not tell her everything. So she knows you're married and she knows Mum's like that and she's still going to take you. So what kind of dirty, filthy, heartless slag is she, eh? The dirty, stinking, filthy heartless, I'm going to kill the slag.
Liam wipes a hand over his face. Katie opens the front door to Neil.
Yeah. You want something?
Have you got a dad?
Yeah.
A taxi driver?
Yeah.
Is he in?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it, please?
Is your husband in?
Yeah. Liam?
Yeah.
They're wanted.
Liam goes to the door and looks at Neil, who smiles briefly, surprised.
She tells me you're moving in with her.
He walks off, but Liam runs after him, panicked.
Please don't tell him. Let me past. Look, I've just been through hell in here. I've just told my wife and daughter that I'm leaving them, right? Absolute bloody hell.
Don't let me past.
Dare tell me that it's all been for nothing, right? I did something that you couldn't do, right? I just told the missus, right, you can never do that because you haven't got the bottle, right?
If well, you don't dare enough, I swear I'll fucking hurt you!
Why tell her? Why tell her when you don't even have to...
Get in.
Neil feels his bleeding lip, then punches Liam to the ground. Oh. He kicks him in the stomach and spits on him, then walks off while Roz watches from the front door. Liam runs to his car, gets in and drives after Neil, who's walking down the middle of the road. He rams straight into him, and Neil's body crashes into the windscreen, then flips right over the car. Liam stops, his whole body shaking. Crying to himself, he gets out of the car and looks behind it, where Neil's body is lying lifeless on the street. Liam looks from him to Roz, who's still standing by the front door, staring in disbelief. He backs away from the body towards the curb. Then he's outside Emma's house, looking round frantically until she opens the door and sees his bloody face.
What happened?
You want to see the state of the other fella?
Emma takes him inside and shuts the door. Roz is sitting at the bedroom window, looking out onto the street, which is swarming with police interviewing the residents. She pushes herself over to the bed and picks up Liam's jacket, finding his phone and the memory stick in the pocket. Liam's standing in Emma's kitchen, shaken and scared.
Sit.
She sits down opposite him, looks at the wounds on his face, then starts to tend to them with a cloth and a bowl of water. He softens as he watches her.
Sorry.
Liam smiles, almost laughs. Emma stands up to answer the phone.
Hello?
Emma?
Yes.
Can I speak to Liam, please?
Yeah, who is it?
It's his wife.
Oh. I'm sorry?
His wife.
She turns to Liam.
This is for you.
Who is it?
Your wife.
He looks up at her and slowly takes the outstretched phone. Emma goes over to the sideboard and turns her back, shaken.
Oh. It's a place.
She hurries out the front door, leaving Liam breathing deeply and staring at the phone in his hand. Driving down the motorway, he sits in the back of a police car with his head resting against the window. A single tear falls from his eye. Emma's sitting with Katie and Roz in front of a laptop.
Present from your dad.
Holding the pendant she's wearing around her neck, Katie looks up at her and nods. On the computer screen are the images of Emma. In court.
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon a verdict?
We are.
Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty of murder?
Guilty.
Liam doesn't react.
Liam Black. I can't imagine the stresses and strains of living with a severely disabled partner. You have done so for years and prior to this case without complaint. That is to your credit. You have been a devoted father to a fine young woman. That too is to your great credit. I note also that you did not kill for financial gain, but out of love for another woman. Nevertheless, a life sentence is mandatory, and it is for me to set a minimum term. Liam Black, you will serve a minimum of 15 years. Take him down.
Roz tearfully puts an arm around Katie, who buries her face in her chest. In the cell, an officer releases Liam's handcuffs, then shuts the door and the viewing panel. Liam sits down, almost bent over double in silent pain. Then the door opens again, and Emma stands outside it.
Sorry.
It made my skin crawl.
I knew you wouldn't like me if you knew me.
She turns and walks away.